Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore. I am your co-host, Andrew McPeak, and our mission here at Growing Leaders is to empower the emerging generations with skills to lead in real life. But today, Tim, we're talking about parents and responsibility.
Yes, we are. We do not claim to be parenting experts. Growing Leaders is a nonprofit organization that does work with parents, but we partner with schools and athletic programs. But we have found ourselves with parental dilemmas over and over and over again.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. But the parental dilemmas we're going to talk about today all center around this concept of responsibility, yeah. Which we're very familiar with. Yeah. There are sometimes we take responsibility and we shouldn't, and other times where we should take responsibility and we don't. But before we get to that, we were chatting before we started about moments or folks in our own personal experience who did this for us.
Well, I have come to believe that almost every parent has quirks or quirky things they do with their children. I love both of my parents. My mom passed away some years ago, but I still miss her. But she made sure at dinner time, everybody in the family belonged to the Clean Plate Club.
I know something about the Clean Plate Club. Yeah. Yes.
So even if you didn't like it, even if you did, you know, and it wasn't even eat a bite. It was Clean Plate Club. I want this thing to look like it'd been through the dishwasher.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was just really fun.
My grandfather did that too. My mom would tell me stories. He was also a big believer in the Clean Plate Club, but he did it to the nth degree because my mom told me a story one time of a time she had a friend of hers over.
An adult friend?
No, she was a teenager.
She
had a teenage friend over.
Okay, I see. So they're still needing to belong to this club.
And, my granddad is not going to let this guest out of that responsibility of the Clean Plate Club. But they didn't make meatloaf and mashed potatoes for dinner that night. They made oysters. And this young teenage girl was not a big fan of seafood, but he refused to let her leave the table.
As a guest.
She still had to clean that plate. Well, she did, but she actually threw up and had to go home. Oh, and my mom was, of course, mortified, which is why she's telling me this story. So sometimes it's taken a little too far.
A little too far. The rule becomes, a law.
Yes, that's exactly right.
So my dad also had quirky things. I love my dad. He turns 89 this year. But, you know, there were phrases that Dad would use that probably, listeners, you would say, oh, yeah, my granddad or my dad did too. Andrew, you're a millennial. I'm a baby boomer. So maybe these are boomer statements that their fathers made from the builder generation.
Uh-huh.
But my dad would say things like, if we'd walk outside and accidentally not shut the door completely, I would hear, "We're not air conditioning the whole neighborhood. Shut the door." Okay?
Classic phrase.
Yes, that's right. Or... turn the light off when you leave the room. There's no reason for the light on if you're not in the room. You know, and that made sense.
Yeah.
It made sense. But my favorite, every December, you know what I'm about to say. Save the wrapping paper at Christmas time. We'll use it next year. Save the paper. And we would knife roll it up or fold it up.
Yeah.
And if somebody didn't sign the card, use the card again, you know? It was the first green generation coming through America. It was that builder generation that lived through the Great Depression.
We're protecting
World War
II. What we got and taking care of it.
Yeah.
That is so funny. Well, we all have examples like that I think we could point to. But this comes down to, I think, often it's two critical mistakes. And in fact, that's really what we're calling this, two critical mistakes that parents make often when it comes to responsibility. So, Tim, lead us through these.
Yeah. So I have divided these up into two parts. Parents who take responsibility too often when we really need to let it go as they age.
Yep.
And then parents, ironically, parents who let go of responsibility too soon when they really need to not do that at all. So we're going to talk about both.
Like a lot of life, it's a balancing act,
yeah,
right?
It really is.
But we see very clearly both mistakes being made. So let's talk about them.
Okay. So number one, parents take responsibility too often when they should let go. I have written about this for a decade now, starting with Generation IY, where we're just not sure what to do. But Andrew, the results of a nationwide survey were recently released, and I quote, "Parents help their kids in a variety of ways, and that includes financial support, even when their children have grown older."
Yeah.
Now you say older as in 18, 19, oh, no.
I wish I was.
Yeah. Nearly half of the millennials, 46%, okay, that were in this survey, get some level of financial help from mom and dad on a monthly basis, according to a new survey released by Money Under 30. So these would be young adults that maybe have been in their career 8 to 10 years.
Yeah.
And they're still getting help.
I'm in my early 30s, and I'm still getting financial help from my parents.
Yeah. So while I agree, sometimes our adult children need our help. In fact, my adult children have needed us to step in from time to time, just with a loan here or a little help here and there. A
little boost or whatever.
Sure. But we wanted to make sure they still felt the ownership themselves. That's the big difference. When we do this consistently way too long, kids go, I'm getting used to this.
Yes.
I love this. So again, while I agree sometimes our adult children need our help, I wonder if our help simply kicks the can down the road, to use a cliche. When young adults prolong dependence on parents, they delay their ability to shoulder responsibility, and that's my concern here. Mm. For example, let me give you an example. The top item kids request financial help with, according to this survey I just mentioned, cell phone bills. Now, Andrew, you and I would say, that's not food and clothes and roof over their head. That's now, we all think we need cell phones.
Yes.
You would agree.
Yep.
But boy, that's now borderline. Should you give up something else like getting a manicure to keep the cell phone and you pay for it yourself?
Yes, yes. And so, and it's worth being said, I want to be the devil's advocate a little bit here. I have definitely read articles where they say a huge portion of that possible 46% are young people who, for factors that are outside of their control, I have a full-time job, but the money that I'm getting for the full-time job is still not enough to pay my bills because I live in San Francisco or New York or, you know, some place where it's gotten more expensive, because we have seen, in fact, studies are showing our growth in salary is not matching the growth in cost of living.
So the cost of living rates have risen higher than salary rates.
Yes.
So even though my salary was way less than yours at your age, it at least covered the bills, and you would say, man, today that's not necessarily true. So it's both of us working, maybe an extra job.
Yeah, but the difference here is what you just said, is there's a big difference between needs, like I can't afford my apartment, I can't afford food, and things like I can't afford my manicure, right?
Yeah, right.
Those are in two different categories. And so that's worth saying, I think, as a part of this conversation.
Well, and one thing we cited before in the blogs we post is, some people might say to us, well, in many countries around the world, parents are still living with their children. Children are 29 years old. Kids are still living at home. Here's the difference. If you go to Europe and find a typical family with a 20-something living at home, they're contributing.
Yes.
They're shouldering responsibility as part of the wage earner, not enjoying video games while eating mom's grilled cheese and she's doing the laundry.
I remember when my sister went off, got a degree in nursing. She moved back home with our parents for a year, and I watched that as her younger brother.
Yeah.
And what she did is she paid rent.
Yep.
Mom and dad took that rent money, kept it in savings, and she actually was able to buy a house after a year.
That's so cool.
So that there's a major difference between what we're talking about and that kind of activity.
Yeah. So I realize, let's go back to that cell phone for a minute. I realize it's hard to imagine life without a portable device. What we have taught them to distinguish, we need to teach them to distinguish needs from wants. What if we show them how to go without other items?
Yeah.
If they felt they had to keep the phone, like manicures or video games. And by the way, those are we both know 20-somethings, I can't give up my video games.
Yeah, I've got no money, but I somehow have 14 video games that I paid for.
Or this subscription to Netflix, which is
a luxury,
but we got to say that's a luxury right now at 26 or whatever. Or perhaps we live for a while without the phone itself. Parents need to help them kids really make these decisions between needs and wants. And when we keep helping them, we delay that decision.
Yeah.
So millions of today's young adults are forced to delay professional goals because we failed to teach them how to do without luxuries.
Yeah.
We unwittingly taught them that luxuries are necessities, smartphones, eating out, brand name clothes, nice big TVs. You get the idea. And now their big life goals are pushed further down the road, and we were part of the problem.
Yes.
I would rather say to my son and daughter, who are both grown adults, 27 and 31, but what are your life goals?
Yes.
And what trade-off? I just had a conversation recently with my son, who's 27. What are some trade-offs you're going to need to make to do that? And I needed my dad to do this when I was in my 20s.
Every generation has needed that.
We need to keep doing it. We need to continue doing that as parents.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. And it is a balancing act, but certainly if you're dealing with a kid who is coming back to you because of life needs versus a kid who's coming back to you because of life waste, I think that's a big difference.
Yeah. So here's the numbers. Almost 8 in 10 young adults agree they're being delayed in reaching their life goals by money. While I understand the economy, cost of living and versus earnings, that you just mentioned, Andrew, has made life hard for a young professional, I've also witnessed how too many parents prevented their teens or young adults from getting started earlier on working a job
maybe
as a teenager or savings accounts. We spared them the hassle as a teen, but perhaps we created a hassle for later on.
Yeah.
So my big question at this point, and here it is have you created dependency when you should have created autonomy on the part of your young adult child?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really good. I think the next time they come asking for money, we step back and go, why are they coming to me? Is this a need or is this showing a lack of responsibility?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you'll know how to react based
Absolutely.
On the result of that.
Yeah.
That's great. All right. That's number one.
So the second scenario and final scenario actually on this podcast is parents sometimes let go of responsibility too often when we need to be taking it on. So you might ask what, in fact, I point, why would you do this?
Yeah. Yes.
So here's the deal. There's another reality taking place today, however, and this has just popped up in the news with some data. Parents are now finding loopholes in the educational system for their high school students and avoiding responsibility.
Mm.
So they're finding if I let my child declare they're actually not living at home when in actuality they are as a junior or senior in high school and saying they're living out here on their own or with grandma who doesn't have much income, they can actually qualify for a loan.
Yeah.
But they're lying.
Yeah, so they're intentionally lying on a very public form in order to get an advantage.
Yeah, so parents of teenagers are delegating custody of their kids, at least in word, for a college scholarship.
Wow.
Now, all I'm saying is we got to be honest on this one. If that's truly the case, then so be it. But if we're lying about it, so let me read some data here. Quote, unquote, parents are giving up legal guardianship of their children during their junior or senior year in high school to someone else, a friend, an aunt, a cousin, or a grandparent. The guardianship status then allows the students to declare themselves financially independent of their families so they can qualify for federal, state, and university aid, a ProPublica Illinois investigation found.
Wow.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So we'll find loopholes. We're a good generation at finding loopholes, are we not?
We are indeed.
Yeah.
And I understand that often a parent is looking at college and thinking about the financial burden of that and that college has gotten more expensive.
Yeah.
But it's the posture that we're taking towards it and the message that we're sending to
our
kids.
That's exactly right. That's really the big concern. So finding loopholes, if it's legal, is not a bad thing to teach your child. Shortcuts are actually not a bad thing. I mean, we have a brain that can teach us to find them. But if we're now teaching irresponsibility, and now your son or daughter are going to learn at 30, 35, and 40 years old to do this and do this for their children.
Do whatever it takes to get what you want.
That's
not exactly a great life skill to be teaching your kids.
Yeah. It isn't. And it's certainly not good ethics. So Andy Borst, Director of Undergraduate Admissions at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, says, and I quote, "It's a scam." Why, you ask, Borst says? Wealthy families are manipulating the financial aid process to be eligible for financial aid that they would not otherwise be eligible for. Now, you say, is that bad? Here, let me keep going here. They are taking away opportunities from families that actually need it.
Yeah.
So when their kid gets the financial aid and there's a kid that legitimately needs it but can't get it, now that's unethical.
I think so too.
So truth be told, more than 70,000 eligible students in Illinois, for instance, alone, won't get this money because it's been taken.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So in this case, parents are actually delegating responsibility to for their kids when they should be modeling responsibility.
Yeah.
And that's just wrong. So as a parent of two young adult children, here's what I did. Both of them wanted to go to college, and I made a deal with them when they were in high school. Mom and dad will find a way to pay your tuition for undergraduate. Now, not graduate, but undergraduate. So we're going to help you get that start with a bachelor's degree into your career. So, alas, both of my children chose a private university that was kind of expensive.
Thank you guys so
and
much.
And out of state, yes. So two shots again. You know, Bethany went away to Oklahoma. We live in Atlanta, Georgia. My son went away to L.A. in California, which was even more expensive.
Tim, it feels like they were running away from you or something.
It kind of does. But that's a whole other podcast for another day. I made him a promise. So we found the way to, you know, find the money and da-da-da-da-da. But Jonathan, here's what we do with Jonathan. And I wanted to make sure I modeled responsibility and kept my promise, but yet had him learn responsibility. So for Bethany, our oldest, we said, Bethany, we're going to you know, work with you to pay for this. But if you can find a scholarship money, that would be great. That's legitimate. Or if you can work jobs in between semesters, that would be great. And that's how we did it. We covered all the money we needed to cover, but she did work jobs. And she was learning to shoulder something post 18 that she needed to shoulder.
That's great.
Jonathan's was even trickier. So his education cost even more than Bethany's. He wasn't able to get a large scholarship, a full scholarship, like Bethany was able to get. So it was partial. So since it was LA, here's what I said to him. I said, Jonathan, I promise you a college tuition. So if you want to go there all 4 years, I will find a way to do it. But another option is you stay in Atlanta for 2 years, get your first general education courses out of the way for the first 2 years, live at home, and then go off your junior year. We'll split the money that I save. So he stood to gain thousands of dollars just going 2 years.
Put right in his bank account.
And he said, no brainer.
Yeah, you know. I'll take the money.
Yeah, so it was good. So all I'm simply saying is we found a bit of a loophole, but it was ethical. It was, and he chose, so he had to own the decision.
Yes.
He could have gone out to that wonderful school in LA and not, but he wouldn't have had anything at the end.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he would have started from scratch.
Yeah, that's really good. It is certainly a balancing act. I love the way that you say this, though. You said, in avoiding this responsibility through a legal loophole, when an adult avoids it, right? They don't take it on like you just did. You're teaching your kids to act like victims.
Yeah, yeah.
Victims of the system, mm-hmm. and teaching them to evade responsibility, right? You're modeling it right there in front of them. I think of the college entrance scandal. Like,
yes.
These really rich folks who are squeezing their kids into mm-hmm. these universities. A lot of them, their kids didn't even know this was happening.
Yeah, right.
But if you can imagine now being this kid of this celebrity, you've gone from feeling like, thank God I've got the parents I've got who've gotten me to where I am, to feeling like what I've actually learned from my parents is mm-hmm. Being unethical and not taking responsibility for what it actually is going to take.
Well, and can I use just some raw language? They got bit by it. You know, this now the parents are facing criminal charges, sometime maybe in prison.
Yeah.
Certainly, probation. Yeah. So it's just really bad. They are now getting the taste of reality that would not have come had they said, let's be responsible from the very beginning.
And oftentimes I think the parents that are doing this are doing it thinking, well, I don't have $20,000 a year or whatever it's going to cost to have, but they're not thinking about the reality that there are other families mm-hmm. in the same state that have even less money to afford that $20,000 a year. And it takes an awareness of the people around you in order to take responsibility.
It's teaching our kids to see the big picture. So the question I would ask on the other side of this problem is, have you accidentally taught your kids to act like victims and avoid duty?
Mm.
That's a huge question. My wife and I have to ask that to ourselves as parents of two adult children who are now one in her early 30s, one in his late 20s.
That's really good. That's really good.
So the bottom line on this one, Andrew, is simply twofold. Let's commit to long-term thinking. So for number one and number two, I have these statements, these decisions, I mean. One, let's delegate responsibility to our young adults for their sake so they can learn what it means to experience self-efficacy and autonomy.
Love it.
So when it's time to let go, we need to let go for their sake. But number two, let's assume responsibility for our young adults for their sake so they can see what it looks like to act from honor and justice, not an unethical decision just to skirt responsibility.
I love that. Both of these activities you're doing for them, right?
That's right.
One is for them to learn through practical experience. One is for them to learn through example.
Yeah.
And I love that. I think that's exactly the message we should be
sending. So two quick pictures of this and we'll sign off.
Yeah.
With my two kids, and I do not claim to be a model parent. We made lots of mistakes. That would be much too long of a podcast to do.
We should do that sometime. Yeah. That'd be fun.
You got 3 hours?
Yeah.
So for Bethany and Jonathan, Bethany is our firstborn. So for Bethany, one way we tried to do this half and half, you take responsibility, we'll take responsibility. For Bethany, she turned 16, wanted to get a car. She didn't have the money for it right away. So I said, Bethany, I tell you what, I'm going to let you choose the car you want, but you'll pay half of it. So you'll do yourself good to probably get a previously owned vehicle.
Save
some money, but I'm going to go half. So whatever you choose, you're paying half, I pay half. So you see how that incentivized her to make a good deal.
Yes.
But I'm still going to give you a jump start on the car.
I love that.
So, and she did. And she picked a car that was, I think, 3 or 4 years old, but it was still workable. And she drove it for years. But it was a good deal for her to learn responsibility and then us to learn responsibility. Now, let me tell you Jonathan's story. He had a similar story, but I'm going to add another layer to it. Jonathan had to wait a year and a half after getting his license before he had the money to get a previously owned vehicle. So he had to borrow the family car if he wanted to go out with his friends, Ben and Colin. So a typical scenario was Jonathan would say, Dad, can I borrow the car keys tonight? It's Friday. I want to go out with Ben or Colin. And I would say, all right, here's the keys. Fill up the tank with gas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you and I would both go, of course. But of course, he had a conniption fit because, what, fill up the tank with gas? You're so hard on me, blah, blah, blah. And of course, I was just trying to say, you don't have to buy the. In fact, sometimes I would say, "Or you can make a car payment this month. Would you like to?"
Yeah.
And he would roll his eyes, and we would both.
That
laugh.
One's even more expensive.
Yes. Yeah. So he realized, okay, this is the better deal. I'm not being a victim here.
Yeah.
I actually got a good deal.
And you can also remind him you're making the choice to go out on a Friday night.
That's right.
There's responsibility that comes with our choices. That's right. So
we got to think long term.
I love that. Well, thanks, Tim, so much for leading us through this conversation. The conversation on responsibility is one that we've been working on for. Over a year now on this new book that's just coming out, Generation Z Unfiltered. We would love for you to check out that book if this is a topic that interests you. In fact, in that book, this is one of the challenges that we cover of the 9 key challenges that we think Generation Z is facing today that adults need to lead them through. So check that out, GenerationZUnfiltered.com. You can order it right now. As always, if you'll rate this podcast, that is so helpful to us. 5 stars is the preferable amount of stars. What that does is it gets the word out on this podcast and tells other people about what we're doing here. Connect with us on social media. We're on Instagram. We're too old for Snapchat. But we're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, wherever you are, we're also there. Unless you're on Snapchat, we're not there. But we love connecting with you. That's at Growing Leaders and at Tim Elmore. Lastly, as always, Tim's still laughing at me. As always, please, if you've got ideas for this podcast, shoot us an email. Whether that's something you want us to interview or a conversation you want us to cover, it's podcast@growingleaders.com. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you, Tim, for leading us. And we'll see you next time.